Tasma naro sangha su sangha jata. Jnanasine eva vivikna moha. Harim tad iha katana shrutabhyam. Labha smritir yat yapi param advanaha. Tasma naro sangha su sangha jata. Jnana sine haiva vrivikna moha. Harim tad iha katana shrutabhyam. Labha smritir yat yapi yat. Labha smritir yat yapti param advanaha. Tasmat, for this reason, naraha, every person, asanga, by detachment from the association of worldly people, so sangha, by the association of devotees, jata, produced, jnana asina, by the sword of knowledge, iha, in this material world, eva, even, vivikna mohaha, whose illusion is completely cut to pieces. Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, tad iha, of his activities, katana shrutabhyam, by the two processes of hearing and chanting, labha smritihi, the lost consciousness is regained, yati, achieves, apar atiparam, the ultimate end, advanaha, of the path back home, back to Godhead. Translation, simply by associating with exalted devotees, anyone can attain perfection of knowledge, and with the sword of knowledge can cut to pieces the illusory associations within this material world. Through the association of devotees, one can engage in the service of the Lord by hearing and chanting, shravanam kirtanam. Thus, one can revive his dormant Krishna consciousness, and sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, return home, back to Godhead, even in this life. Report. To become liberated from material bondage, one must give up the association of worldly people and accept the association of devotees. Positive and negative processes are mentioned in this regard. Through the association of devotees, one develops Krishna consciousness, which is dormant within. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving this chance to everyone. We're giving shelter to everyone who is serious about progressing in Krishna consciousness. We arrange for their lodging and board so that they can peacefully cultivate Krishna consciousness and return home back to Godhead even in this life. And that's the end of the chapter, leading to further talks. The first word of the verse, tasman or tasmat, is a summary. Therefore, so summarizing everything else. Therefore, three things primarily mentioned: detachment, attachment, and devotional service. So the detachment we heard about yesterday. Said Bharata speaking, and he giving an explanation of the reason behind his detachment, which was he made this grievous mistake of neglecting his devotional practices. Due to attachment for something temporary. And that object was a deer, he became a deer thinking of a deer at the time of death. He learned a big lesson from that one. And then he's explaining to the king, during this lifetime, I'm purposely avoiding worldly association so that I would not make the same mistake again, becoming entangled and attached to the temporary. Because material association means attachment to the temporary. The phrase that Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses is asat Krishna. Asat is temporary. Sat, eternal. We spoke about this eternal or existential dimension of spiritual reality. Sounds like mystical, but it just means it exists. Sat. As opposed to something that is asat. So, here's an object, here's a table. Looks like it's been around quite some time. But, wait a while longer, there won't be a table anymore. So, the table is asat. The elements are not asat. But the table is asat. But we're using it in Krishna service, so it's nice. But everything of this world is asat. And the advice of scripture is don't be attached to asat. But Krishna, sounds like Krishna. Krishna means thirst. Thirst for the temporary. Thirst for the impermanent. And as long as one is thirsty or hankering for happiness from the impermanent, the path of spiritual elevation is blocked. It's like rowing a boat or propelling a boat of some by some method and leaving the anchor. The effort is fine, but you have to pull the anchor. And without pulling the anchor, your effort isn't going to bear any fruit. So detachment from the temporary is essential. Not just, you know, the Hare Krishna movement or something. It's a principle. Any spiritual teaching worth its salt doesn't say, do whatever you like. Do whatever you like. Rajneesh was saying it the opposite. Enjoy. Go for it. Immerse yourself in sense enjoyment. Oh, he's a popular guy. But that's not the principle of spiritual life. It's cheating. So those that aren't cheaters will say that there has to be some restriction. Has to be. We discussed this yesterday also. Tapo Devyam Kutupiyena said the advice of Vishnudev earlier in this canto 5, chapter 5. of Canto 5. Human form of life is meant for not living like an animal, meant for higher consciousness, and higher consciousness requires some tapa, some restriction, some sense control, mind control. Without sense control, mind control, you can't even be materially successful. What to speak of spiritually successful. Doesn't mean something radical, but it means some degree of control of the mind and senses. So detachment doesn't mean don't use your senses, but don't do that in the attached manner of seeking enjoyment from the impermanent. That's the problem. It more than a problem. It blocks spiritual progress. So, we heard yesterday about this detachment factor, and he was attributing the detachment to the past experience. But now in this verse, he is attributing the detachment factor to association of saintly people. So we'll go through the first line of the verse again. Tasman nara sangha susangha jata. So, asangha. Naro sangha, the prefix A is dropped. So, asangha. Remember Jana Sangha? We heard that yesterday. Jana Sangha, worldly association, worldly minded people. He was staying away. So, and one in general should stay away. Stay away doesn't mean the landmine metaphor. It's all around us is the material energy. We're just careful and we don't intimately associate with worldly-minded people who are attached to temporary, because through that association, our consciousness becomes similarly influenced. So we respect, and we don't intimately associate with. We have cordial dealings with, but we don't have intimate association with such people. So how does that detachment arise? From susangha. That's what susangha is association, sangha, susangha, association with qualified individuals, sadhu sangha. That's a whole chapter about sadhu sangha is in the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, means of elevation. We discuss these topics. Through that association, one gets a sword. The word that's used in the second line is asina, jnana, asina. Asina means sword, and jnana asina is a sword of knowledge. Same language is used, no surprise, in Canto 1, Chapter 2. Canto 1, Chapter 2 is a summary of the whole bhakti process, so that's the concluding verse of this chapter, summary of the bhakti process. It's text 15 of Chapter 2. After describing the sequential stages of bhakti, step by step by step. 13, 14, 15. Just read I'll read the translations. It is therefore concluded. There's this word tasmat again. It is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is these, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atak Kumbir, Vrija, Shreshtas, etc. Then text 14. Therefore, Tasmat, with one-pointed attention, Ekena Manasa, one should constantly hear about, glorify, and remember, and worship the Personality Godhead who is the protector of the devotees. Shrotavya Kirtitavyasya Jaya Pujasta Nityada. This verse is a response in part to a question asked in chapter 1 and going to be asked again at the end of this whole first canto. Maharaj Parikshit wants to know from Shukadeva, what is that subject matter that one should always hear, chant, remember? It's right here in chapter 2, answered already. And it's answered in the verse that we just discussed. Topics of the Personality of Godhead. And the result of those topics being heard and chanted is the same asina. Yad anu vyasina yukta. Text 15, chapter 2. With sword in hand, the intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work by remembering the Personality of Godhead, therefore who will not pay attention to his message? Question mark. We suffer. We suffer from ignorance. And from ignorance comes ignorant desire. And from ignorant desire comes ignorant activity and comes suffering, the bondage of karma. We don't want suffering. We want enjoyment. But we're in ignorance. And so the desire for enjoyment becomes ignorant activity. We suffer. So the sword in the verse we discussed this morning is the sword of knowledge. Jnana asina, the sword of knowledge. And so how do you get that knowledge? Well, it's in the purport. It's knowledge that's within you already. So that knowledge becomes awakened by the hearing and chanting process. Let's say it again. Knowledge becomes awakened by the hearing and chanting process. Again, another verse from this chapter to Canto 1. And that is, by the bhakti process, knowledge awakens. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojataha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam. It's not something out there we have to, like, import it, install it on our hard drive, and now we have some knowledge. No. It's knowledge that's already there. How is that knowledge already there awakened? By association with sadhus. And what do sadhus do? They speak Krishna katha. Topics about Krishna, pastimes of Krishna, teachings of Krishna. And bhakti awakens, knowledge awakens. Because it's been dormant. It's a different process, saying it again. It's a different process than acquiring knowledge that we know so well since little kids. And we still do it. We learn stuff that's out there, put it in on a hard drive, and now we have knowledge. We know how to operate our digital devices, and we know how to drive a car, and We had to do all kinds of stuff because there's knowledge out there and we import it and put it on a hard drive. Now we have it. You know, we're good. We know how to do lots of things. And all those things, Prabhupada describes it, you get the term, Sanskrit term, it's a particular category of knowledge. He calls it an art. Like, he gives the example of mechanic or mystery, an electrician. He knows the art. Your electricity isn't working well. You bring an electrician. He knows the art. He, you know, fiddles with a few things and electricity's going. Or your car. You'd like to give this example. You can spend all kinds of time looking underneath the hood of your car and not know what's going on. And the mechanic comes along, at Prabhupada's words, he just touches something, boom. Because he knows, yeah. That's material knowledge. You can earn a job. I mean, you can earn a living, get a job doing mechanical knowledge stuff. So people covet it. Because with money you can enjoy, right? You can buy objects and enjoy. So this knowledge is another kind. Another category altogether. Another category altogether. It's knowledge of who we are. And our original existence with Krishna. All, that knowledge is within. And how to get from here to there. It's already there. It's awakened by the hearing and chanting process. It may look like, but it's not the same process. Not something out there, we bring it in, put it on a hard drive, and then we know stuff. Not like that. You won't progress in spiritual life in that way. You'll stay in the mechanical space, wondering, you know, why don't I have any taste? So, here's the translation again. With sword in hand, intelligent men cut through the binding knots of reactionary work karma by remembering the personality of God, and therefore who will not pay attention to his message. Katharatim. Katharatim. Rati. Attraction for the message. Or we heard yesterday this word taste for the message. Some desire to hear. When there's a desire to hear, that's a requirement from our side, and the source is the right source, it has the effect of giving you this sword. Not material sword. It's a sort of avidya has been dismissed by the sword of knowledge. And the language of the second chapter, first canto, is the nibandhana, the bondage to fruitive work. You still work, but the bondage to fruitive work is cut. Nice sounding word. Like a karate call or something. So, the bondage is trying to be the enjoyer of what is produced from your work, the fruits of your work. You work, but not with the spirit of being the enjoyer of the fruits of your work. Who goes to work? You don't get your pay. Who's going to do that? It's not you have to go to work without getting paid and then you qualify. It is not attached to being the enjoyer of the fruits of the work. And you use the fruits of the work in service to Krishna. That's where it goes. Sacrifice to the service of Vishnu or Krishna. It's a different kind of work. And it requires knowledge that cuts avidya or the bondage of fruitive work. like a walk-in refrigerator.
Can I turn
up
the other one?
Huh?
There's another one that's on.
I don't know. Yeah. So that was the bondage of fruitive work. Here is the bondage of association with worldly people. So here we are in the, you know, in the material world, there's worldly people. But the attachment will be cut just by the hearing and chanting. Doesn't mean like trash people, call them bad names and stuff like that. No. Because the attachment to seeking happiness through that kind of thing, there's detachment from that. Now, Jad Bharat went to like an extreme. He was living as an avaduta, a madman. You don't have to be a madman. He did. But we don't have to be a madman. You can just be a pleasant, detached from worldly association person. And just, you know, polite and well-mannered and gentlemanly and ladylike in your conduct. And don't intimately associate with those people. Because it leads bondage. It leads to avidya instead of vidya or jnana. Seek the association of devotees. And be very cautious with regard to worldly people. And then comes the third part. So detachment, attachment, and service of hearing and chanting. The Sanskrit phrase is in the third line. Katana Shruta Dhyam. So kata and shruta, chanting and hearing. Dhyam, abhyam, it's both of them. So these two processes. This is Bhagavad Dharma. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's hearing and chanting. But not casual or cosmetic or mechanical. But with a hankering to go on the other side of material existence and explore what's over there, spiritual existence. To be connected again with Krishna, not the mechanical kind. Sticking to the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, one can return home, back to Godhead, even in this life. Atiparam advanaha. Atiparam, the yati atiparam advanaha. When one achieves, that's the mature stage. And there's the, you know, we're not yet mature stage, so, but it's movement in that direction, even in the beginning. Even in the beginning. Very powerful process. Have to receive it carefully, has to be from the right transmitter, the receiver has to be on, be attentive, be in the mood of wanting whatever you want to say you want, you know, to connect with higher reality. I was saying in China because of government stuff, higher consciousness. Human life is meant to attain higher consciousness because this anti-religion thing going on. So, higher consciousness. Whatever the contemplation is within, it's not casual, it's not for sense gratification, it's for this higher destiny, the living entity's spiritual trajectory. So here, it's in the Bhagavatam, it's very clear, it's the path back to Godhead. Beginning, middle, and end. Not yet, not, quite immature, a little bit becoming stable, somewhere in between, and advanced stages. So he's at this advanced stage, and he's speaking to the king, get on board with the hearing and chanting process by associating with those that are hearing and chanting in a qualified manner. Put your receiver on and be careful with worldly association. The path back to Godhead is opened. And so, conclusion, Prabhupada is saying the Christian consciousness movement is providing this opportunity for everyone. And he goes one more step and says, people, you know, free room and board. He would often say that in India. Oh, I have to work for my family. Well, come stay here. We'll take care of you. Just hear and chant. No. Because attached to temporary. So one may be engaged with the temporary. That's fine. Don't be attached to it. Be attached to the purpose behind it. The purpose of life. And that comes through Sadhusanga. So we have this facility that's just like Prabhupada would appeal. Please take advantage. Please take this knowledge and read these books and engage in association with devotees and hear and chant together and make spiritual progress. Back home, back to Godhead, in this lifetime. Any discussion? Your mother's not here, what are we going to do? She's cooking. Maybe she's listening. You can call in and see if that's a question. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. My question is not today, but it's based on yesterday's class.
Okay.
Yesterday you said Vidura is released from the obligation where there is no service for him because he has to fight against Kauravas, against Pandavas and the will of Krishna. But at the same time, Bhishma, Drona, they are also, Bhishma is also Mahajan. So what obligation they both have to stay and connected to Kauravas?
Drona is not a Mahajan, but he's certainly an elevated Brahmana. And you know, who are we to say he made a mistake? But how could he? So, in Grandfather Bhishma's case, it was to fulfill a desire of Krishna. What's that? So that the happiness of chivalry, which is a secondary rasa, could be engaged in by Grandfather Bhishma, by fighting on the opposite side and having this exchange of chivalry with him.
Mm-hmm.
A loving exchange, but looked different. He was, took a vow to kill Arjuna. That's not nice.
Right.
How could he do that? He's a devotee of Krishna because he knew what Krishna would do.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, Krishna did what he knew Krishna would do. So it was, you know, one of those fulfilling the desire of Krishna things. And, you know, it's misplaced. There's principles of Dharma that knowers of the principles of Dharma will observe because it's Dharma. And there is this sarva dharmam pritya jamami kam sharanam message of Bhagavad Gita, and that supersedes all other dharmas. So, you know, they shouldn't have done that. But by Krishna's pastime, they did. And there was this utterance that complexity sometimes arises when great souls make a pronouncement of Krishna, makes an arrangement to uphold the pronouncement of the great souls. That Shikhandi would be the one who would kill. And so, the grandfather Bhishma. And that, you know, the arrangement for Ashwatthama is dead. You know, another pastime that Krishna was instructing us. And Jonah was on the receiving end of that instruction. He wants your attention. What is it?
14 minus 6.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Towards the end of the Prabhupada speaking about this, having the goal of entering back home, back to Godhead, and you explained it that we should be eager to want to explore the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
At the same time, there's a tendency to want to make this place that we're currently in happy and peaceful. There's an issue there, because then the more happy and peaceful you are here, the more complacent you are about wanting to go to the spiritual realm.
Besides that, you know, the happy and peaceful is about me.
Mm-hmm.
Not about Krishna. About me. I'm at the center after all. So that's a problem too. Now we want to act in such a way that the natural order of things, it's like this question this girl asked from the college group, having spent some time with Buddhist group somewhere in Colorado. There's this, I forget the word that she used, but, you know, harmony between features of the material world and something like that. So we want to live harmoniously and not be at odds with just the way it is. You know, when you're crossing a river, you get in a boat. Unless you're a yogi, you can walk across. But, you know, we just accept the arrangement of what material nature is. It's not meant to, you know, satisfy me. It's meant to perform a function and service in this world. And so there we go. So, if, on the other hand, if we live with proper codes of dharma, then irregularities of weather and sufficient rainfall, so there's production of grains and human society and other species of life, they'll have necessities, so observe dharma and those things happen. But, you know, it's a natural consequence of living in harmony with nature, just use that phrase. But there's a higher purpose than necessities are there, and it's not irregularities of weather and things like that. There's a higher purpose. So, without proper understanding without qualified persons to give the purport of the Vedas, even Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, without proper commentary, what to speak of all the other Vedas that say so many other things. And, you know, people are really puzzled. Or they think that they've got, anyway, think they got the answer and they don't have the answer because they have the association of a qualified person. So, one may be eager for experiencing the spiritual reality, but it may be a definition by negation. I want shanti. And that means, you know, becoming one with the Supreme. That's my goal. I want shanti. I want to become. So, we require the Srimad Bhagavatam is so explicit, it's hard to, you know, screw out a different meaning. So some commentators, they take certain sections of the Bhagavatam and screw out a different meaning. And they leave the rest. We have someone guiding us that teaches us correctly. So right from the get-go, we are properly guided. Very fortunate. I don't know if I'm addressing your point you're bringing up. Babbling on here. Is that okay?
Yes, you know my heart, so I think you addressed it.
Okay. Yes, that's it. Srila Prabhupada.